For the rest of us, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Acts chapter 8. And our text is 5 through 24. We are going to look at a lot of scripture very quickly today. So keep your Bibles and your notepads handy. We're gonna get after it today. Before I tell you what our title is, let me tell you about my week. You want to know about my week, don't you?
Yes.
Sure. Well, there's a reason I want to tell you about just a little bit of my week. Three nights this past week, I had dreams that I remember. Okay? You always dream. But dreams that I remember. Three nights this week, I had dreams that I remember. They were strange dreams. I'm trying to process what all of it might mean, because I'm pretty sure they're from the Lord. But all three of those nights, the dreams that I had that I remember, every one of those dreams had people in them that I know. Every one of them. People that I know personally. I'm not just talking about somebody I know their name. I'm talking about people that I know personally. And like I said, I'm trying to process it. I would never even attempt to try to tell you about them. I believe there's more to come, and God's going to help me make sense out of it. He's showing me something. But this much I know. From these dreams and from other things that God has impressed on me, things He has spoken to me the last many months. We are right now in this nation seeing the beginnings of the outpouring of God's Spirit.
Yes.
There are spot fires that are starting up in our nation. I'm excited.
Yes.
I want to hear the fire of God to fall. People to come to Christ. People to come back to Christ that have wandered off. I want that. But I also know when there is a mighty move of God that Satan always unleashes a counterfeit to try to confuse people. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because he is the master counterfeiter. Are we clear on that? So, what I want to talk to you about today is counterfeit Christianity. Because we have to be able to understand the authentic, the way God moves,
yes,
and discern when it's God moving. But we also have to understand the way Satan works as the master counterfeiter. Okay, so we're going to look this morning very quickly at a lot of scripture, and we're going to explore the whole idea of counterfeit Christianity. You know, Jesus and Paul had a lot to say on that topic. They really did. They had a lot to say on that topic. So, with all that said, let's read Acts 8, verses 5 through 24. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, they had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just pray that for the next 45 minutes or so, that Lord God, we would be open, our hearts will be open, our minds will be receptive, and that Lord, as the word of God is sown in our hearts, that we would gain understanding, that Lord would empower us from your word to be able to live out this life that you have called us into, this life that you redeemed for us. Lord, we praise you for who you are. Now, Lord, as I bring forth this message, hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Step forth and reveal yourself. And, Lord, put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you would have me to speak today, not a word more or a word less, and all that you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of Satan's chief tools in his bag of tricks is religion. Religion. The very first temptation in the Garden of Eden was a religious temptation. It was not a temptation to be ungodly, but to be godly. Remember? Satan said to Adam and Eve, "And you will be like God." And that sounded pretty good to them. Satan is a counterfeiter. Rather than always deny the faith, he counterfeits the true faith. This is how he operates, to sway people and get them off the tracks, off the center of God's will. So, first major point is, don't be impressed by the satanic force of false religion. I want to look at verses 9 and 10 of our text quickly again. I want to read them again. It says, "Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave their attention to him and exclaimed, 'This man is the divine power known as the Great Power.'" See, Satan is full of pride. It's why he was cast out of heaven, right? It was pride that was at the core of it. He didn't want to lead worship anymore, to worship God before his throne. He wanted his own throne and wanted to worship for himself. So he orchestrated a rebellion. And one-third of the angels actually followed him, pulled this rebellion right in front of the throne of Almighty God. Think about that for a minute. So we know that Satan is bold from that. Amen? And we also know that people can really be duped pretty easily, because we see that a third of the angels were duped. And they dwelt before the throne of the Most High God. Okay? So we know that the enemy works in this way. Would you look with me to 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 and 10? These verses also correlate with what we are talking about. I love to use Scripture to confirm Scripture. The Word of God confirms the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Okay, so the coming lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in miracles, signs, and wonders. Just because you see what appear to be miracles, signs, and wonders does not mean it has origin with God. This is why for years, periodically, I warn the people in this church not to just look at miracles and signs and wonders and be out chasing all over the country and some people all over the world looking for the spectacular and completely missing what God wants to do in their lives.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying God doesn't call you sometimes to go here or there, but that's when it's a move of God. If God calls you to go somewhere, He's called me to go places. And I've obeyed Him in those areas when He's called me to go places. One of the places He called me to go was when I ended up down in Texas at a pastor's conference down there that was by invitation only. I shared about this recently. And at the time, I was bending wrenches. I was working on cars. And God spoke to me, I want you to go to that conference. I look at it, and it's by invitation only. Okay, well, long story short, God worked it out. I got an invitation. So I went there. God called me to go there. Yes, there were some cool things that happened there. There were spectacular things that happened. I saw, roughly, out of 7,000 pastors and evangelists from all over the world, there were roughly 7,000 there. Out of that 7,000, I saw roughly 700 go up front in the altar call and get saved. They weren't even saved, 10% of them. Well, that spoke to me. So, anyway, I obeyed in that, and that is where, when I was at that conference, that's where God spoke to me the first time about planting this church in Fulton, Illinois. That was in 1998. And that was where God spoke to me. So I am in no way saying, well, you're blessed God, you're never supposed to go here or there, you're never supposed to whatever. That's not what I'm saying. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. There are people that get caught up in chasing after the spectacular. Those are the ones I'm talking about that are constantly running and looking for the spectacular. And when you do that, unless you've got an awful lot of discernment, you inevitably are going to end up in a situation where you're in something that is rooted in the demonic.
Yeah.
You'll end up in the counterfeit. And I want to tell you something, it's not always easy to identify the counterfeit. There was a counterfeit revival, in my opinion it was counterfeit, in Florida years ago. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Some of you remember it. I told you then that God told me, don't watch it on the internet, don't watch it on television, don't go there. And there were pastors, including pastors from this area, flooding down there. Pastors going down there, got to get in the middle of that. While they were doing that, and still inviting me, and I'm saying, no, I'm not going to go. God spoke to me, said, stay away from it. Well, in the end, it became known it was counterfeit. Everything fell apart, and it became very clear that it was counterfeit. So we need to be wise. We need to walk in discernment. Just because there are miracles, signs, and wonders doesn't mean it's of God. It could be the enemy. Those are called, if you're taking notes, the counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders are called spurious miracles. Spurious miracles is the term for that. In Revelation 16, 14, it says they are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for battle on the great day of God Almighty. So they are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs. We see it again in Revelation 16. Pharaoh's magicians performed miracles when Moses performed the miracles of God. Remember? The enemy just can't even help himself. He always has to try to outdo the true God. He just can't help himself. It's because of his pride. So when I completely believe that we are going to see soon a major move of the Spirit of God in the world, in this land as well.
Yes.
I want to talk about this land because this is where we live. We're going to see a major move of God. And when that happens, there will be an uprising of the counterfeit. So I want you all aware, as your pastor, as your shepherd, I want you all aware of how the enemy works so you don't end up duped and involved in something that is not of God. So, Exodus 7, verses 10 through 12. Exodus 7, verses 10 through 12. Again, we're looking at the fact that Pharaoh's magicians performed miracles when Moses performed the miracles of God. Exodus 7. And it says, so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a serpent, became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned his wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. Here's the key. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Staffs. God's like, oh yeah? Watch this. I think our God is always up to a good challenge, because the bottom line is, God is always going to win. He is all powerful. And He will win every single time. It's up to us to stay in Him. Right? Don't be deceived by the power of false religion. Flee from it. Flee from false religion. And how do you identify what's false? By knowing the Word of God. Always. We gain discernment by knowing the Word of God. Yes, there is a Holy Spirit gift of discernment, but that is rooted in knowing the Word of God. Okay? Second major point, don't be deceived by superficial faith of false religion. Never put your faith in miracles, put your faith in Jesus Christ alone. I thank God for the times that He does miracles. I've had miracles myself. I've had healings myself. Several. I've been very blessed. God has chosen to do miracles in me. Heal my body several times. Other miracles in our lives. We've been very blessed to have that. But don't get duped into taking your eyes off of God and putting your eyes on the miracles. Because the enemy will surely lead you astray. Seek the face of God first and foremost always because of who He is. If you just seek His hands for what He will do for you, you're headed for destruction. Always seek His face first and foremost. Loving God just for who He is and what He has already done. Lord, if You never do another thing for me because of what You have already done, I love You and I will serve You with the rest of my life. Simon the sorcerer believed not in the master, but in the miracles. Did you notice that when we were reading that passage? There's a reason I wanted to read that whole passage. So I wanted you to see. I want it stuck in your mind. Simon supposedly had given his life to Christ and was even baptized. But then later he was told to repent. So he'd really be saved. I find that interesting. See, he was excited about the miracles. And because of the pride that was in him from being a sorcerer for who knows how many years and leading people astray, he was impressed with the miracles. But apparently, he didn't know the worker of the miracles. Always remember that the miracles that you get from God come from Him. They come from Him, our Father. In John, Gospel of John, chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 23 through 25. Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. These verses say, now while He, Jesus, was in Jerusalem, at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs He was doing and believed in His name. But Jesus would not entrust Himself to them, for He knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for He knew what was in a man. Jesus wasn't looking for His strokes. You know what I'm talking about. He rejected the whole idea of that. A true servant of God is not looking for their strokes. They are merely looking at serving God in spirit and in truth. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Just being obedient to God, allowing God to use us as servants, allowing Him to use us for His glory, not for our own. Listen, I want to tell you something. If you start thinking you're serving God and there's something in you that really wells up when someone pays you a compliment, you're headed for disaster. You've got to get that in check right away. That's got to be stopped right away, because the enemy will start attaching things to that and destroy it. Do you believe me?
Yes.
Because pride goes before the
fall.
See, you know. Yeah. Pride goes before the fall, always. So Jesus was not subject to the things that would make him well up in pride. And we need to guard ourselves just like that. We need to guard ourselves against that. Remember, we read about Simon the sorcerer, and Simon said he was pretty good. Did you catch that? Talking about himself. He called himself. Can I tell you something? If you have to blow your own horn, it don't mean anything. It means something when other people blow our horn. If we have to blow our own horn, and we do blow our own horn, we're headed for disaster. He wouldn't entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. Isn't that interesting? The way that's worded in the Word of God?
Yeah.
He wouldn't entrust himself to them, because he knew all men. You know, some people manipulate people through compliments. Now, it's fine to compliment people. I do too. I let people know I appreciate it. I probably don't do it enough around here, but I try to tell people that are serving in the ministry how much I appreciate what they're doing. Periodically. Probably not enough. But I don't want to do it too much. Because see, when somebody is telling you too much how good you are, there is usually an agenda behind it.
Yeah.
See, I've learned a few things in the years I've been in ministry now. Can I tell you something? The people over the years that have showered me with the most compliments are the ones who have left this church wrong and hurt me the worst.
Yeah.
My wife's saying amen, because it's true. They're the ones that have hurt us the worst, because they had an agenda. And when their agenda was something that did not fit the platform that God has been building in this church, then they get mad and leave. But when they come in, oh, Pastor, you're just wonderful. Well, I've never believed that. I've never believed that. But do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Manipulation.
Yes.
Manipulation. The enemy is a great counterfeiter. Superficial faith never truly bows the knees to Jesus. Never makes him Lord. Don't trust in a supernatural experience alone as proof of salvation. Don't trust that. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. I got a miracle in my health when I got born again. The night that I was prayed with and I opened my heart to Jesus and I meant it, man, I was to the end of myself. The night I did that, I had been sick for a long time with ulcerative colitis. I had lost a lot of weight. I was sick. It took me days because I was so excited about Jesus. to realize it. But I never, to this day, have had another attack of ulcerative colitis. I was healed of it. Didn't even ask to be healed of it. I asked Jesus to come into my life. I prayed and asked him to forgive me for all the horrific sins that I committed. And he did that. And he gave me a bonus. He healed me of ulcerative colitis miraculously. I had been on a product that they used then, a drug that was called Tagamet. How many of you ever remember? Wow! But there's a lot of people that are familiar with Tagamet. I don't even know if they use that anymore because I haven't had an attack. But God did a miracle. But I didn't keep my eyes fixed on the fact that he healed me of colitis. I was thankful and I praise him and I thank him. But my eyes were on him because I'm excited about Jesus. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Christ alone. But superficial faith never truly bows the knee to Jesus. A superficial faith is always rooted in an agenda. Always rooted in an agenda. James 2, verse 19. James 2, verse 19. Says, you believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. In other words, so you believe there's one God. Have you invited him to come into your life to be Lord and Savior? That's what matters. It doesn't matter if you profess that there is one true God. Acknowledging there is one true God is not the same as giving your life to him and inviting him to come into you, to dwell with you. He says to sup with you. That is a different thing. See, one is rooted in relationship, and one is not rooted in relationship. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. Oh, but we did this and we did that. We did miracles and signs and wonders in your name. We spoke in tongues. We did deliverances. We laid hands on people and they got healed. And he said, yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. Because it's got to be rooted in relationship. All of it needs to be rooted in relationship with Jesus Christ. Am I getting through to you?
Yes.
2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15. And it says, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Pretty straightforward. Pretty plain. I don't need to preach that a whole lot. I don't need to expound on that a whole lot. Satan masquerades as servants of righteousness, and so do people that are under his control. Let me ask you something. Does Satan go to church?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guarantee you he's here right now. You think I'm kidding? I guarantee you he's here right now in some form. Guaranteed. In some form. But why am I telling you that? Because that's just the reality of it. The good news is God's Spirit is here. And greater is He, that's right. The good news is God's Spirit is here and greater is He. Is God in hell? See, I love these trick questions. I do, because it makes you think. And sometimes when I do this, people, I get this kind of look like, I don't know, you might be getting into heresy. David said in the Psalms, where can I go where you are not? If I go to Sheol, you are there. Is God in hell?
Yes.
Because He's everywhere. See, the sad thing is, those that are in hell don't know He's there, though. Because He doesn't reveal Himself to them. Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14. Says that He performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs He was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. You see the deception. In the end times, people are going to be deceived terribly. People that never studied the Word. People that never hid the Word in their hearts. We're told in the Word to study, to show ourselves approved. That's not so we can say how great we are. I've got this much of the Bible memorized. That's not why. It's so that having done all to stand, we can stand therefore, like it says in Ephesians 6.
Yeah.
Because we have an understanding of the Word of God. I've used this example before, but it warrants being used again. There are a lot of people here that weren't the last time I shared it. Now, the banks and businesses use a pen to mark a $100 bill to identify if it is bogus, right? Counterfeit, like Satan. But before the days of that technology, tellers at banks, when they were hired, would have to sit in a room and handle money, count money. And they would have to do that because they would get familiar with the authentic money, the authentic dollar bills, the authentic, the real deal, that the moment they touched one that wasn't, they would know. See, if we get ourselves so familiar with the authentic God that we serve, we will recognize the counterfeit in a moment. You hear what I'm saying? Getting close to the authentic God. Spending time with Him. I know that's true. I know what I'm preaching to you is true. Because I have been able, through discernment from the Lord, through Him speaking to me, through also the years spent studying His Word, I've gotten pretty good at discerning the counterfeit. I really have. I'm not tooting my own horn about that. I'm just telling you the truth. God has given me ability to pick out that's not real. All right? John 5, verse 24. Told you we had a lot of scripture today, didn't I? You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what comes out of my mouth if it's not scripture. That's why I load my message with scripture. Pastor Jim and I have talked about that. He said, yeah, that's what I've always done too. Scripture confirms scripture. John 5, 24 says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. So it's he who hears the word, believes it, is not condemned. Do you believe God's word? Then that's why it says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Third major point. Don't be destroyed by the selfish focus of false religion. I talked about this a little bit earlier in the message. Selfishness and self-centeredness empowers false religion. I'll say that again. Selfishness and self-centeredness empowers false religion. I always know when something is amiss. You know, churches spring up. And the churches close. It's the cycle of things. You know what I'm saying? When I see a new church that springs up, and I see that their main agenda is to try to steal people, sheep, from all the churches in the region, when that is their agenda, I always know clearly that they're not about building the kingdom of God, they're building their own kingdom. Because those that are about building the kingdom of God do not try to uproot people that are rooted in the kingdom of God already. There's enough lost people in the world, you spend your time reaching them.
Yes.
Preach! Say, preach, Pastor Wayne! Do you understand what I'm saying? There is no reason. I have always been against this. We planted this church 18 years ago. I stood in the pulpit on the first night and said, we are starting a new church, but don't you leave here and go and try to uproot people out of the churches that they're rooted in, unless, of course, they're in a cult. Then go get them. Bring them in kicking and screaming. But if they're in a church of God, leave them alone. Go reach the lost. Because we're not here to uproot people. How many of you remember me saying that in that first service? See? See? I'm telling you the truth. And ever since that, I have always discouraged stealing people from other churches. And that's why I am not interested in building my kingdom. I want to build the kingdom of Christ.
Amen.
And when you see a ministry that is doing the opposite, it's wrong. It won't end well. Because there's pride rooted in it. And that never ends well. There's a reason I'm saying that. Stuff has happened in the last few years here in this area. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. We're on the same page. Self-centeredness is pride. It's what made the devil the devil. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. Trying to go fast. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. It says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'" How many of you know who that's talking about?
Yeah.
Satan, right?
Yeah.
Did you notice how many times "I" is in that passage?
I will.
That is pride, my friends.
Yeah.
That is pride. We see it firsthand in that passage. I will. You know, we were told in the Word of God not to even say, "Tomorrow I'm going to do this," or "Tomorrow I'm going to do that." We're told in God's Word not even to say that. We're supposed to say, if it's God's will, "Tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to go do this." Because He said it's prideful to even assume we're going to be here tomorrow. Pride can get a grip easy, can't it? 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. I'm going to have your Bibles wore out when we get done today. Or your electronic device. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. Says, "If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing." That's pretty bold. "He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain." Do we see ministries today, and haven't we seen for many years, ministries that it seems all they're about is the money?
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. You turn on the television, you just know that that's counterfeit. You just know it is. I'm sorry. I don't care if a pastor does pastor a megachurch. I can't see any reason that that pastor needs two jets. Does somebody know what I'm talking about? That's a gross misuse of the funds that are collected in the name of God. If you've got to have one jet, I seem to be doing all right without a jet. You surely don't need two. Amen?
Amen?
To the tune of like $30 million apiece. I'll mention no names. You can fill that in your own mind. False self-centered religion brings two things. Are you ready? It brings bitterness and it brings bondage. The difference between a true child of God and an unsaved person. The unsaved person fears the consequences of their sin, so they're in bitterness and bondage. Am I telling the truth? I'll say that again. The unsaved person fears the consequences of their sin, and it creates bitterness and bondage in their life. Trust me, I know. I had heard enough of the Word of God when I was a kid growing up to know that the way I was living, if that was all true and if God was real, I knew enough to know I was in trouble. How many of you have been there? Now, I didn't know much, but I knew enough to know if that was all true, I'm in trouble. So I lived this. I was bitter, full of rage. I didn't know Christ, and I was concerned. I mean, I even had a couple of friends that we'd get stoned and sit around and talk about, what do you think, is God real? How messed up is that? We were trying to figure it out. I only had a couple friends that would even want to talk about that at the time. But I'm serious. We did once in a while. I don't know, what do you think about God? Is he real? Of course, now I know he is. And I'm not bound by bitterness and bondage anymore either, and neither are you if you're born again, believer in Christ. Okay, so the unsaved person, we covered that. The saved person is brokenhearted that they have broken the heart of God.
Yes.
Got a revelation. You know, before I got saved, you could hit me with a hammer. I wasn't going to cry very easy. You could hit me with a hammer, I wasn't going to cry. You hit me with a ball bat, I wasn't going to cry. I was hard like concrete. But when Christ came into my life, and I got a revelation of his love and the price that he paid for my sin, it broke me down. And now, I could cry at the drop of a hat. I'm just an old teddy bear now. I sometimes unravel and cry up here in front of you guys. Gosh, that embarrasses me. But it is what it is. If God wants me broken like that, if God wants you broken like that, here I am, Lord. I have learned that that doesn't make me any less of a man.
That's right.
Amen. But you're a better man. Right.
That much I've learned. So the saved person's brokenhearted that they've broken the heart of God. That's where we need to get to truly repent.
Yes.
But they enjoy the full fruit of forgiveness and freedom. Those who are born again enjoy the full fruit of forgiveness and freedom, guys. Glory, hallelujah. It don't get better than that. I have no more fear of dying. Do you? Do you have fear of dying? I have none whatsoever. Now, this I will say. I do wonder sometimes what I'm going to have to go through to get there. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? That's a little bit of a concern. But I also know that whatever that is, because Christ indwells me, he's going through that with me too.
Yes.
But as far as the whole thing of dying, we have no reason to fear anymore as born again believers in Christ. No more fear of death. Well, I tried to do an adequate job from the Word of God in awakening and understanding in you of what the counterfeit looks like compared to the real thing. Did I do a little bit of an adequate job of that today? Are you ready to go forward and see God move in amazing ways soon? And also beware of the counterfeit and call it out when it comes. Amen? Let's stand together. Father, I pray your blessing on your people. I pray in Jesus' name that we have not only heard your word today, but that, Lord, we have hidden your word in our hearts. Yes. And, Lord, we proclaim that we are forever transformed because of your word being sown richly in our hearts, Father God. And I pray in Jesus' name that all of us will leave here today changed and empowered, Lord God, and available to you. And that, Lord, you will just direct our steps. That, Lord, as we go out these doors and enter our mission field, that you will use us for your glory. And that, Lord God, you will bring us back safely. Maybe Wednesday night, maybe next weekend, whatever be the case. Bring us back safely, Lord, to delve into your word again and to worship you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.